Transmitting sound. Download complete. Now launching audio stream. The Kelly Alexander Show.
Joining us on the show this week are four fantastic women, starting off with fashion expert Harmel Gahunia, talking about spring fashion and what is hot this year as we march towards summer. Lifestyle expert Christine Eisner talks about streamlining your life and getting a handle on what you should keep and what you should give away. Our music editor Sharon Hyland chats about what is new in the world of music, including a new offering from Dixie chick Natalie Maines. We wrap things up with car expert Pam Oakes, talking about getting your car ready for summer.
Capture your need for sound.
Our very own fashion expert, Harmel Gahunia, joins us on the show to talk about spring and summer fashion trends. We're very excited to have her back. It's been a hot minute since she's joined us. So, Harmel, welcome back to the Kelly Alexander Show.
Hi, Kelly. It's great to be back.
So, you know, we are heading into spring and summer and all that sort of goodness. So, can you let us know what are some of the hottest things coming our way in spring and sort of heading towards summer? Because I think people need to know, like, what's on tap.
Well, Kelly, spring is always a great time for fashion, and I think this year is no different. So we have, you know, the classic pastels, and this year there's lots of stripes involved as well. And my personal favorite is the floral as well. It's making a big comeback. And in addition to all of that, we also have the leopard print. So, you know, it's been a lot of print this season with powerful colors, but it's fun, really, with all the colors and patterns coming in.
So can you talk a little bit about, first of all, the leopard print? Does everyone look good in that, or is that, like, for select people?
I knew you were going to ask that question, Kelly, actually. The leopard print, I feel, is one of my favorite. That's actually my must-have this season, but I think you can do it in moderation. You can do it in a variety of different patterns. So it's not just like that leopard print that we're used to, which is, you know, with the beige and the black and the white. It's actually in a multitude of colors and variations. So it kind of looks like it was a leopard print, but then it's a little bit more abstract and, you know, with different colors. And I really think you can do it in something like as small as an accessory, which is your bag, or, you know, maybe even a scarf. You don't have to do a full-on leopard print blouse or, you know, a legging, which a lot of girls are doing. You can do it in something as small as an accessory if you feel comfortable in that. But, you know, the leopard print is seen in, you know, everything from jackets to blouses to even jeans. So really, it's a huge item for spring. But like I said, in moderation, I think everything is nice like that.
Now, can we talk about pastels? Because I know you mentioned that that's something that's happening. But I just wonder, do most people look okay in pastels? Because I know, for example, there's certain colors, I think, in pastel that on me, I would look completely washed out and hideous. So how do you get around that?
You know what? That's a difficult one. Pastel, I think, for someone who's a little bit fairer, such as yourself with blonde hair, I think you want to lean more towards a little bit of more like the brighter peaches, so maybe a sorbet or a coral because they're a little bit more powerful. Or for you, Kelly, I know baby blue in a bright kind of periwinkle even would be nice, to even an emerald. So they're going into like a darker kind of mint emerald, but it's still in pastel. I think those colors work well, but, you know, you would want to steer away from colors like blush, which are too light for, you know, a blonde, but maybe a brunette could do that. And, you know, peaches are big too. And in terms of pastel, there's also lots of shades of white that are being incorporated this year. So, you know, people will be mixing their, you know, stark white pants with a cream blouse and, you know, mixing it in with a lot of studded jewelry. It seems to be the huge trend. And you're seeing a lot of this pastel in nice laces as well. So maybe for someone that's a little bit fairer, you would want to work with texturized pastel instead of just maybe a solid, you know, a material with a bit more texture, or a print maybe would probably be a bit better. But, you know, the darker the skin tone or the darker the hair, the easier pastels are to, you know, like a Naomi Campbell would look great in pastels. But like I said, you want to go for something brighter in that pastel tone. So you don't steer away from the blush, I would say. because that would just totally wash you out. Yeah.
And
so everything in moderation.
Everything in moderation. What about floral patterns? Is that, again, something that, certain people can pull off and certain people cannot?
So the florals this year, Kelly, actually is seen in a multitude of different shades. So you have everything from like the watercolor, which is a little bit more subdued, to the geisha print. So like something that you'd see like, you know, the oriental print, which is a little stronger in its colors. So you could have, you know, everything from a magenta and a pink and a black with very like a strong, distinct pattern, which would look nice, you know, on a lighter skin tone. And the pastels are seen in like more of the watercolor floral that you're seeing. And I think anybody can really pull off a floral. But the thing about a floral is it's still a print. So the print is always proportionate to the size of the person. So, you know, like if you're a little bit of a bigger lady, you would want, you could go with a stronger print, you know, but if you're a petite, tiny little, you know, maybe 4 foot something, you would want to go with something that has a little bit, it doesn't overtake you. Let's just put it that way.
Joining us on the Kelly Alexander Show, fashion expert Parmal Gahunia. I wanted to talk to you about black and white. You mentioned white before, and I know I think everyone always assumes or just expects and understands that white is something that you want to be wearing in the spring and summer, and that's when you're supposed to flaunt it. But is black and white something to sort of think about for spring and summer too?
Well, black and white is something, Kelly, we're seeing all over the runways, all over the fashion shows. It's coming back strong, and it's coming back in a lot of systematically created graphics. So you'll see it, you know, in the bold stripes, horizontal, vertical, you know, all of the above. And you'll see it in a lot of geometric patterns as well. And it's cool because they're taking fashion to a different level, basically. They've taken like that, you know, maybe the railroad track print, or, you know, it kind of looks like jailhouse-ish a little bit, but they've made it super tailored, and they'll take it in at the waist or they'll put it in a beautiful peplum. And, you know, all of a sudden someone that maybe has no waistline, it creates one for them, or they'll put the stripes in such a way, like maybe you'll have a solid dress and you'll have one or two solid stripes going across the smallest part of your waist. And right there, you know, you're taking the classic black dress and, you know, narrowing it in at the waist and creating that nice hourglass instead of having, you know, a dress in full-on stripes. So they've used it to the advantage to create really that nice shape on women. So I'm really appreciating the fact that they're putting a little bit more effort into, you know, creating these patterns on a fabric, systematically cutting it, and then having it, you know, tailored as a dress or, you know, even as a pencil skirt. I've seen a stripe, like a thin stripe going down all of these nice pencil skirts and just crisp black and white. It really is a very hot trend, and it's clean. So there's something to be said about the simplicity of it, I think, that's really eye-catching. So it's just taking something that's super organic and then making it, you know, very flattering on many different body types. So I hope that kind of explains that trend a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Now, we've talked about the pastels, the florals, the leopard prints, geometric shapes, patterns. Out of all of this, what stands out for you that is something that people... Because I know that we've talked before when you've been on the show where you don't want to get too trendy because you can trend yourself sort of right out of the system here. But what do you think is something that people can sort of grab onto and be like, yeah, this could last for a little while at the very least?
You know what? I'm all about the longevity of clothing. So that's kind of why I always say like a trend is fitted to the person. But if I had to pick two of my favorites, that's not to say you can't have fun with fashion. And so I think the leopard print is something that really excites me because personally speaking, I've never been a huge fan of animal print. I feel like it's just should be restricted to lingerie. But you know what? They really have made it super cool and fun. So for that person who's maybe, you know, very, a little bit on the fashion is a little bit on the boring side for them and maybe they don't want to dabble into it, you know, leopard print, a leopard print scarf has gone a long way with, you know, just a plain white tee and a pair of jeans, you know, and maybe just a pump. Like it goes a long way because it's making a statement. And I think that's what's carrying, you know, the outfit. And you put that over a really cool, you know, leather jacket or, you know, a really nice trench, and all of a sudden the whole look is a little bit more modern. So I think that's one of my favorites. And then my other favorite has to be this utility green, so the military green color that we're pretty much seeing everywhere in every store across the board, in bags, in shoes, and definitely in clothing. So you're seeing it, like, they're taking the old look of the cargo pant, which I was a huge fan of, and kind of modernizing it with the same, you know, cargo pocket, but making it into a skinny pant with maybe like a gold zipper at the ankle. You know, I just love it because they're taking something that we always associated with casual and making it really trendy and really cool and bringing it more mainstream so you could wear it to work. So you're seeing a lot of these kind of military cargo looking blazers even. So, you know, it's work appropriate. So that's probably one of my other favorites this year, because military green's a new neutral that you can pair with pretty much every color that you would put with black or beige. You can definitely pair with military green. So not only are you putting beautiful pop colors with it, but you can also mix neutrals. So you could do a black with the green, you could do the beige, the white. So really depending on how you feel, it's just really, you can let your imagination run wild with this color. So it's definitely one of my favorites. I think everybody should have it in their wardrobe this spring and summer.
Now, can we, I guess, briefly touch upon accessories? Because I know we could talk about accessories till the cows come home. But like,
oh yeah.
But do you have a few that you would, again, pick out for people to pay attention to?
Well, I think you'll see it at every store, like Aldo and even Nine West. I mean, every major accessory store and shoe store is carrying something along a pump or a ballerina that has studs on it. So you'll probably see it. It looks like a little bit, you know, looks like it might hurt somebody.
I actually saw one the other day about Christian Louboutin, whatever, had these red sneakers with studs on it. It was craziness.
Yeah, they have them around, you know, the heel or the back of the shoe. And it's just, it's so cool. You know, I have to say, like, if you're just going to wear a pair of jeans and a white shirt, there's something to be said about your shoes that make a little bit of a statement too. And I really enjoy the studs on the shoes. And the loafers are making a huge comeback this season. As you've probably noticed, that boat shoe is everywhere. And they're making them in all of these nice, fun colors. So I'm a girl who loves to wear my flats. I cannot work in heels all day long standing. So for me, a basic ballerina or a loafer or even my Keds are just like a must have for spring, because they're just so fun and you can get them in so many colors, and especially the patterns coming in, again, even in your shoes, like a leopard print with a stud gives it that rocker kind of look. It's really fun. And in terms of jewelry, the same thing, really. You're getting a lot of glitter, not really a lot of long necklaces this year, but they're more closer to the neck. They're very chunky and they're definitely studded and they look very rocker inspired. So, you know, pop that on with a simple white shirt and you're good to go for a night out on the town, you know. Probably one of the hottest trends as well. And obviously scarves are one of my favorite things. So for spring, you know, a way to pop in some color over, you know, maybe some, just to start getting into spring, if you're, you know, if you feel like the temperature is not there yet, a scarf is a nice way to kind of pull it together before you get, you know, more into the dresses or skirts. You can kind of springify your wardrobe with a scarf.
Perfect. Now, before I let you bounce, I wanted to ask you if you could leave us with like one word or one phrase that you want, you know, the listeners, my listeners, to keep in mind as they get ready for spring and summer when it comes to what they're going to do fashion-wise.
One phrase? It could be just one word, right, Kelly?
Yeah, one word. That's fine, too.
Okay, my one word to everyone out there is fun.
Awesome.
Have fun when you're shopping. Because I think people get too wrapped up in like, oh, my God, is this cool? I don't know. Is this last year's trend? I'm not sure. So I think they got to have fun and trust your instincts. And if you didn't like the way it looked, don't buy it just because someone said it was cool.
Perfect. Thank you so much for joining us. And we're so happy to have you. And we can't wait to have you back on again soon.
Anytime, Kelly. Have a great day.
That's our fashion expert, Parmal Gahunia. Again, if you want more information, check us out on our Facebook page, The Kelly Alexander Show, and you'll get all cool stuff that Parmal's been talking about.
KellyAlexanderShow.com.
Spring is here, and for many people, it's a time to get on with a bit of spring cleaning. It's a time to get rid of the old and bring in the new. But decluttering and tossing things out aren't always an easy thing to do. Lifestyle expert Christine Eisner joins us to talk about decluttering and how best to tackle some of the worst rooms in your house. Christine, welcome back to the Kelly Alexander Show.
It's great to be back, Kelly.
So how do people often find themselves surrounded by clutter? Because it seems like one minute you're doing okay, and then you're like, how did I get here?
You know, it's that thing that we talk about, preventive maintenance. Sometimes we just don't stay with it. We just let things pile up, you know, whether it's in our closets or on our desk. And, you know, one thing on top of another, and, you know, within a week, within a month, you know, you're looking around and you're choking on all this stuff that's invading your life and keeping you from living the way you want to live.
Why is the thought of decluttering sometimes just so overwhelming for people? Because I know for myself, I like thinking like, hey, once you get through it, you have all this, you know, space and clarity. So, but I think some people just get completely overwhelmed by the idea and they don't bother.
You're so right. And I think it's because we turn it into this horrible chore. And, you know, we all know what decluttering is. It means getting the junk out of our spaces and out of our life. But I like to look at it as streamlining. And when you think about it as taking out things that you, or elements in your life that don't speak to you anymore, that aren't necessary anymore, and bringing in things that do, then it starts to take on a different tone. And if you think about instead of just looking at, I mean, I remember seeing in a lifestyle magazine a couple of years ago, the centerfold of this magazine was nothing sexy at all. It was a month long, it was a calendar. And every day of the month showed at least five things that you had to do, in order to declutter and spring clean. And it was everything from, you know, empty your drawers to purge your closet to, you know, take down the storm windows and wash the screens. And, you know, I took one look at it and I just closed the magazine and I went outside and I picked some flowers and I brought them into my house and I, you know, I cleared off one tabletop and I put those flowers in some water, and that was the beginning of my decluttering and spring cleaning. So I think it's sort of a mindset. I mean, if you really look at, instead of getting rid of, if you look at it as if you're welcoming in spring, and you start to do little things that get you motivated and enthusiastic about the change of seasons, then it takes on a whole different tone. Does that make sense?
Yes, it makes sense. And I wanted to ask you as well, what would be the best way, I guess, to just get your foot going? Like, you know, is there like a, you know, work counterclockwise, start in the basement, start in the attic? Like, is there a way, Christine, that you think people should sort of, because like you said, it's a mindset. And I know, for example, for certain things I do in my life, I always sort of do A through B through C, and then I get through it.
Right. You know, I think if you, in the way I look at it is sort of in layers, actually. And what I would first do is look around your space, walk through your space, and just start grabbing some of the things that are, that say winter. You know, the throws, you don't really need those anymore. There might be some heavy accessories or pillows, and just pull them away and just try to lighten up your surroundings. Believe it or not, I would also, and then as I'm saying, you take away, but you also add. So I would add a layer of music, believe it or not. You know, put on some light, fun, breezy music. Open the windows so that you actually start to get a feel for, oh, you know, there really is a change of season happening. So, you know, I know you're asking a sort of technical question, and I'm coming back to you with part. I don't believe in that it needs to be a task. I mean, sure, you know, I think we can save the drawers and the closets for fall, frankly.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But I do think it would be great, like in your closet, again, I'm talking layers, you know, make it accessible, make it easy. So go into your closet and pull out five things that you know, look at what you wore this winter. Pull out five things that you really, really just don't need anymore and put them in a box. and get rid of them. Give them to someone, donate them, whatever you want to do, sell them. And then at the same time, pull out a few things that you really are thinking of wanting to wear in spring. And, you know, maybe sort of shake them out and hang them on a, you know, a side hook or something so that they can sort of speak to you. Same thing do with your shoes. You know, pull out a few and you know, get rid of a few, add in a few. I'm big on threes. So, you know, if you take out three things in your living room that you don't want anymore, clean off. Look at three surfaces, your dining room, your breakfast table, one part of your kitchen counter, and maybe where your sink is. And take a look at each of those areas and pull a couple of things off. But then also think about adding a couple of things. Think about going to, you know, Publix or whatever it is and getting a thing of tulips, and take a tulip and put it in a vase or a bottle and put it by your sink. And so the reason why I'm saying this is because that way you can bring energy, you can bring that spring energy into your space, and then it'll motivate you to go to the next layer. And the next layer is basically a repeat of the layer that you just did. Go around, you know, pull out a few things that you don't need anymore. Pull off a few things off of the countertop or the bureau in the dining room or your bookshelves. I mean, bookshelves are such a place for you know, things to pile up. And what you'll find is, I mean, it's sort of a way of tricking yourself. What you'll find is when you pull off something, you know, one of those spaces might get a little bit of more interest from you. And then you might sit down and you might sit in front of that bookshelf and start to really look at that and take out more stuff and really focus on it. I just did this with a client out in LA. And, it started literally with taking down art that she didn't really like anymore. And she had other pieces and we started relocating some of her art. And that led to a whole process where we just brought a whole different kind of energy. We, you know, looked at the surfaces and, you know, I don't look at this really as cleaning. We used to think about this as spring cleaning and the rugs and all of that. And sure, that's part of it. But I think the first layer before you get to that, you have to get rid of all the crap, all the clutter first. And what is clutter, the reason why it's clutter is because it doesn't mean anything to you anymore. So that's really what you're getting rid of. And you want to bring in things or bring to the front of the shelf or the tabletop, bring to the front the things that do mean something to you. Or, you know, when you have space, then you can go out maybe to a flea market or the mall or you know, Main Street, and you can go and buy something that might spark your space up a little bit in your life.
Joining us on the Kelly Alexander Show is lifestyle expert Christine Eisner. For more information, make sure to check out her website, comfortlivingbychristine.com. Christine, I wanted to ask you, how often should you be decluttering your home and, I guess, by extension, your life?
You know, I think it's sort of an ongoing process. Just like we take out the garbage, you know, a couple of times a week. This should be said, we brush our teeth every day. There are rhythms, there are routines that we build, that we have, that are part of our lives, eating. And I think that the idea of streamlining should be one of those routines. I would say it's good to sort of look around and be present in your life, in your space. You know, gosh, I'd love to say weekly, at least once a month. But, you know, if every week you go around and, I'm a pile person, you know, I gather piles. And I would say about every week I try to, you know, file the stuff that needs filing and, you know, throw away the stuff that goes, recycle the stuff that needs recycling. But I think it is something, it's not a twice a year kind of thing. Because if it is twice a year, then you have to put together that stupid calendar with all those horrible things that you have to do. If you do just little bits, you know, repot some flowers, wash the windows, you know, that's a huge thing for spring. See, I would say keep the closets for fall, but I would say wash the windows so that you can look outside and guess what, see that spring is happening, and even open them up. When you put that extra effort into something as simple as that, and you don't have to do the whole house. Maybe you just look at the room, you know, that you spend the most time in, or the window truly the window that is right in front of your desk. And the reason why I say that is not to just clean one window all, you know, forever more, but when you clean that one window, that's the first layer. It's going to make you say, oh my God, look at how much more light comes in. Look at how nice it is to not see all those drips or spots or whatever. And then you'll do and then you'll be motivated to do the rest. So I think it needs to come. I think it needs to come from your heart as much as your brain and your hands.
What do you say to someone who has problems making those tough decisions about what to get rid of? Because there are people that it's just, you know, I call it too, like if it's something that was given to you by like your grandmother, there's like the whole family guilt going on. So how do you get through that?
When you said that, I just saw all the faces of the family looking, frowning, like you're really going to get rid of the tea service. I think one of the best ways to do that is to bring in outside help, and that can be a best friend, it can be a sibling, it can be a child. Last fall I went through my closet with my daughter, with my 16-year-old daughter, and she would just look at me like, "Mom, you got to be kidding! You're keeping that." But sometimes it is that other eye, and it might be an organizer. It might be a professional organizer, or maybe it's the Acme cleaning service or your housekeeper and you literally say, you know, do you think I need this? But it is hard to do it because we do attach. I think to talk about like specifically an item, you know, if you find a way, and this is actually in chapter 2 of my book, where I talk about streamlining and turning up the volume on the treasures in your life and turning it down on the obstacles that get in the way of enjoying them. But if you have, you know, your grandmother's china service and you're really not using it, maybe you keep one place setting and you put that one place setting in a shelf area. If you like it, if you don't like it, if it really doesn't speak to you, then maybe there's another member of the family to give it to. Maybe you donate it to a women's resource center for people who are setting up their own homes, that this is their own home or Habitat for Humanity. I think if you can find a way to feel good about passing something on, it's a lot easier to do. To throw something in a dumpster, even versus recycling, if you're recycling, at least you feel like it's not burdening the rest of the world. But if you find a way to make the process of getting rid of something good or just taking a piece of it, you know, if there's a silver service, maybe you just take one teaspoon and you use that teaspoon for when you drink your tea or coffee each day. There's a way to, we don't have to have it all. And sometimes it really becomes much more special. You know, less really very often can be more.
You mentioned kids a couple of moments ago, and I wanted to talk about that because how do you get your kids into the mode of decluttering? Because I think if you do, then you're setting them off to a good start for the rest of their life if they know how to do this at a young age.
Absolutely. I remember when I was growing up, we had to dust our room every week. And so we had to pick up all the items and all of that and put them under. My parents are Swiss, so they had that mindset in there. But I think that they need to, that same process that you're in. First of all, there's modeling, you know. So if you're doing it yourself as a parent, and they see that every week or two, those piles or those bins are getting emptied and addressed instead of just piling up, that's going to be a rhythm that they start to adopt for themselves. And then if you sort of introduce, okay, so let's do this together. You know, let's do, I remember with my daughter again, we cranked the music and we just did it for 45 minutes and we made it fun and we're, you know, dancing and singing and emptying the trash and, you know, straightening the books and the pillows and puffing and occasionally throwing one, you know, to the other. And, you know, we have to make it enjoyable. The same process goes to them. Okay, what are three things, it can be like before reading a story at bedtime, what are three things in your room that you really don't need anymore? And they tell you, and they're like, well, let's get them out of here. And then you just put them outside the door in the hallway, and then you can deal with that later. But you're building those habits. You're building that vision, that eyesight in your children that will allow them to look around and all of a sudden say, what's working and what isn't? There's actually an exercise, an activity that I designed for this very cool organization called Change My World Now. And it's all about, it's for kids to create a zone of their own. And it involves thinking about what their real treasures are and bringing those into the forefront. And there's I also, when I've worked with kids on this, you know, I talked to them. I said, well, what happens when those treasures aren't treasures anymore? What do you do? And they're like, I don't know. I said, well, what if you're now into, you know, whatever, you know, the Jonas Brothers aren't there anymore and they're like, you know, totally out of fashion. And they're like, well, I guess I put something else up. So it's like you start and it's like, okay, well, are you just going to put it on top of the Jonas Brothers? And they're like, no, I think I want to just get them out. I don't want anybody to see that I ever liked them. So that's the way you start to, in those, you know, silly little conversations and that kind of an exercise, it starts to help kids realize that, you know, things aren't forever. We grow and our spaces need to grow. Our routines need to grow and our lives grow.
I wanted to ask you as well about common areas in the home, because that seems to be like a really good place for clutter to start building up, like whether it's sort of the hallway where you come in or the coffee table or what have you. Is there a way, Christine, to organize things so that as a household, you sort of keep an eye on what's going on in those areas?
Absolutely. And first of all, tagging on to what I was just saying, to have, you know, like some families have family meetings, some people have family dinners, but I think a great place for a family, you know, little 10-minute is, you know, meet, you know, say, okay, everybody, we're going to, you know, meet here at before dinner and look around and it's like, okay, everybody take what's yours. And you all take what's yours. And that way you've already started people taking ownership for what they have. And then I think it's a matter of, okay, let's find homes for each of these things. And let's, you know, I think clutter happens when there aren't homes for things. So if you figure out where things belong for yourself and for the rest of your family, then you have just empowered them to take responsibility for those things. So, and then going back to the routine of it, you know, the next week you can say, okay, let's meet in that front hall again or in the mud room, and you can go back and do it again. And then you start printing that memory for where those homes are. Because if you establish a home for something, you know, for whatever it might be, you know, God knows what, the winter boots, but you only use it once a season, it's not going to, you know, no one's going to remember that that's where the winter boots went. But if you, you know, for the first few weeks, if you make a, you know, here's where the umbrellas go, you know, here's where the whatever, and that way, here's where the, you know, God knows, the wrapping paper or the bags, the grocery bags that, you know, after you come in and unload the groceries, if you start really helping everybody use those homes, then that will become part of their streamlining vocabulary.
Christine, where can people get a copy of your book? Because there's so much, you know, awesome information you've got going on.
Yeah, well, the book is full of practical tools for living in more balance and for just living in a way that helps you enjoy your life. It's on Amazon, of course, and on my Amazon.com. And there's also a pocket journal that helps you keep track of your treasures and your obstacles. It's the size of a checkbook, actually. And then also they can get it on my website, which is comfortlivingbychristine.com. And just so that you know, in my own effort to streamline that process, I decided not to put my books in anymore in Barnes & Noble and Borders and stuff like that. And so I decided just to have it two places to make it really easy for people to get them.
Fantastic. Christine, thank you so much for your time. As always, we really appreciate it.
Thank you. Great to be with you.
That's lifestyle expert Christine Eisner. And again, for more information, like she said, check out her website, comfortlivingbychristine.com.
It's the Kelly Alexander Show.
It's that time of year when it's time to finally take those winter tires off your car and get ready for the summer. But what else should you be asking your mechanic about? What other maintenance could you be doing on your car to ensure its longevity? Car mechanic Pam Oakes joins us to discuss some of the do's and don'ts of maintaining your car. Pam, welcome back to the Kelly Alexander Show.
Why, thank you. Thank you for having me back.
So, Pam, what should people be checking up on with their cars at this time of the year, and sort of mainly speaking about sort of coming out of the winter and heading into the spring and summer?
You know, even though we're leaving that cold, blistery winter, everybody's going to be wanting that AC on in their
yes.
cars, believe it or not. Isn't that crazy?
It is crazy.
I know. But we're going to want that air conditioning to work, and we want it to work well. And unfortunately, it's been sitting all winter, and for summer use, some vehicles, especially when they're a little older, may not be producing that nice, icy, cold air coming out of the vents. Well, first thing that I recommend is that you make sure, especially those who have automatic temperature controls, and I've seen this a dozen of times, especially this past month where I'm located, make sure that temperature on your digital dash shows it's 60 degrees. Because remember, there's an ambient air temp sensor. There's a temperature sensor that is corresponding upon what temperature you have in the car. So if it's 70 inside the car and you have 70 on the dash, it's going to turn the air off. And then you're going to think there's a problem, but there's not. It's just because that's how it works. So we want to make sure that you guys have that all the way down to 60. Another thing, too, is those climates that are prone to humidity, the eastern seaboard, Great Lakes area, the southeast. Use that recirculation button, please, by all means. Keep that on recirculation, because that's going to ensure none of that hot, humid air is going to come into the car. Think of underneath your dashes, three bedrooms have it. You're going to have one for the air conditioning, and you're going to have one for the heater and one for the vent. And these bedrooms have doors on them that open and close. So when you're asking for the max air or the recirculation, has nothing to do with the engine, nothing to do with fuel economy. You're just closing those little doors underneath your dash for your optimum comfort. So keep that on recirculation, and you wouldn't believe the difference by closing out that hot, humid air, how much cooler it's going to be inside. And, you know, we wanted to get cool real quick. I always recommend that after you leave the parking lot, to put those windows down where it's safe and you get that hot, sticky 160, 170 degree heat out of the car and replace it with, even if it's 90 or 100 outside, because it's a lot easier for your air conditioning system to cool off 100 degree from inside the car than versus 160, 170 degrees. It really makes a difference. It cools it off much quicker. And once you get it down to where you like your optimum cool, turn that fan down. Now, when you turn the fan down to maybe the third or the second position, even the first, the slower you have that fan blowing, the cooler that air is going to come out of the vents. And that's because that cold air had time to concentrate around that evaporator core, that AC core underneath your dash. So you can drop it in some vehicles easily 10 more degrees coming out of the vent once you turn it down to 3 or 2 or 1 setting on your dash. Now, I have allergies. Do you have allergies, Kelly?
I am fortunate that I do not have allergies.
I've got them really bad, but I know a lot of people out there listening do have them, and I've got a fix for you. Especially with AC systems that have been sitting all winter, they're prone to get dust, and, you know, you'll have a little mold and mildew, especially when it first starts working. The humidity will do it. This is a surefire method to help prevent the allergens getting in the car, these mold and mildew spores.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, you know, everybody has, at one time or another, gotten into a car under the passenger floorboard up front, and the carpet's been soggy.
Right.
And that's from the AC drain backing up because of these mold and mildew spores building up and blocking the drain. Because remember, that hot air hits that cold, you have that condensation, and that's going to come out, and you see those big water puddles under the car. That's from that.
Huh.
Well, we want to keep that all flowing nicely. So I recommend choosing, like, your favorite scent of Lysol. I like, for example, the white linen scent. I think that's pleasant to me. But you may have another flavor that you like. And those little black vents right there by your windshield, that's your air intake vents. So we want you to get in the car in your driveway and just turn it on, keep it in park, and turn that old AC on, but keep it on normal because we want that outside vent to be drawing some of that air in. Then to each vent, spray 30 seconds of your Lysol favorite scent into those air vents. And then you go over to the right side of the car, do it again. You get back in the car, keep it running, put it on vent. Do the same thing, each side 30 seconds. Then I recommend putting the heater on, same thing, each side 30 seconds. And then go back, and I always do the AC twice in the summer.
Right.
Like I said, I've got bad allergies. And you do that again. And not only is it going to be keeping the car smelling nice and fresh, but you're going to be preventing that mold and mildew spores building up around your evaporator case. So that's going to prevent everybody from sneezing because of the musty odors and everything from the mold and mildew. And it's going to keep everything nice and fresh. Everybody's going to be happy. And your system's going to like you a lot more because it's going to help prevent those mold and mildew spores blocking up that drain tube.
Those are great tips, Pam. Thank you so much, because I would have never even thought about it. So that's amazing. And I wanted to ask you as well, when it comes to tires for the summer, what would you recommend people be sort of looking for in a tire? Because it's a big decision and it's a lot of money.
Oh, yes, it is. And, you know, it's even more money that they've raised the prices again. Last year, they raised the tire prices on average 18% from the year before. People don't realize that. They've really increased the price for the consumer, unfortunately. And you really need to find the perfect fit for your tire. And it's not going to be an advertisement. It's going to be what works for your vehicle. For an example, you have a speed-rated tire. You have to keep that speed-rated tire on your car. You cannot go backwards. You have to keep that speed-rated tire on your car. If you have a performance car, like a BMW or a Mercedes or some of the Lincolns. Actually, believe it or not, some of the Toyotas, like Camry, will have a speed-rated tire, or Lexus, and you need to keep that. You can't go backwards to save money. It says on the inside of your door sticker, on the driver's door, there's a little sticker there for the tire pressure and the size. That's what you put back on the car. No questions asked. But, you know, you have that tire size and you're going, geez, Louise, what brand do I put on? I don't know. Best rule of thumb is you start talking to automotive professionals that have a very, very good reputation. You want to talk to somebody who's well-seasoned, who's been doing this for decades, not for years, but for decades. They really know what's going on in the tire industry because, you know, there's always good, better, and best when it comes to a tire. Each tire manufacturer makes a good, better, and best. And depending upon your budget, somebody's good tire may outweigh everything that somebody's best tire may have. Do you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing that I always tell is, you have your traction, your tread wear, and your temperature. And your tread wear is a good key to go off of because the higher the tread wear, the better the tire.
Okay.
The traction and the temperature will fall in place the higher the tread wear.
And is this an important time of the year also to get your brakes in order? Or like, is there a time of the year that you should be doing that or just when they're due sort of thing?
Well, you know, they should be looked at every time you get an oil change because every time you get an oil change, you should have them rotated. Remember, you can never over-rotate your tires. You can under-rotate them, which will cause tire wear, but over-rotating you can't do. So every time you get your oil change, when they rotate the tires, they can see the brake material right there. It's right in front of them. There should be no extra charge for this whatsoever because, I mean, there's nothing that they can do. Is just look with their eyeballs. There's nothing special that they have to do. So that should be every time you get your oil change, look at the brake material. Extremely important, a big, big safety issue that needs to be addressed every time you change your engine oil. And don't have them go off of, say, oh, you have 50% left, you have 20% left. Well, let me tell you, my 50% of a shot glass is going to be different from their 50% of a shot glass, right?
Right.
Okay, so there's an actual tool that the professional technician has that's in 30 seconds of an inch, and it has the proper measurement. And once they get down to about 4:30 seconds, you sit there and say, well, now's the time to budget and plan. You're going to need brake material soon. And when it gets down to about 3/32nd, it's time to make that appointment to have them exchanged. That's a good rule of thumb all the way around.
Joining us on the Kelly Alexander Show is car care expert Pam Oakes. If you want more information, make sure to check out her website, pamsmotorcity.net. Pam, I wanted to ask you as well, I know depending where you live in North America, it sort of varies with regards to how much snow you may or may not have had this particular winter. But if you are coming from a place where there, and this obviously applies to overseas as well, but if you're coming off something where there was a fair amount of snow and the road crews had to put out a lot of salt and stuff, is there anything that you need to do for your car that might have been rolling in all this crazy salt all winter long?
Well, you know, even during the winter, they do have car wash facilities that are open.
Yeah.
That wash the undercarriage.
Yeah.
That's extremely important because, you know, that rust, once it starts, it's like cancer. It's just going to continue to grow no matter what you do. So you can prevent it from starting by washing all that road salt and road chemical off when it's happening. You know, do it maintenance periodic while it's going on. And don't wait till end of season after it's built up. But if you are one of those that had, now's the time to have that addressed. See how much you can get that off of your steering gear and suspension and the undercarriage of your vehicle, the exhaust. You know, a lot of it will rest on top of the fuel tank, mm-hmm. and the fuel pump is right there mounted on top of the tank. I can't tell you how many fittings that I have seen that hold the fuel pump into the fuel tank that had been rotted out because of salt and road chemical exposure, you know, to prevent the ice buildup.
Gotcha. Okay, so obviously very important to get that handled.
Very important.
Now, I wanted to ask you as well, when it comes to general maintenance, because I think a lot of people, it's so easy for, you know, with everybody's crazy lives and what they've got going on, it's so easy for the car to be neglected. So how often should people be going in for a maintenance check?
Well, as much as they hate to be bothered with it, I always tell everybody in between your oil changes, your oil services, that you need to choose a day out of the month, for example, you were born on the 20th. Well, the 20th of every month, you go into your trusted and established ASC Blue Seal Shopper dealership and tell them, please put air in my tires, top the air off in my tires, and top the fluid levels off in my vehicle. This is going to do two things. First of all, putting air in your tires is going to ensure your miles per gallon. It's going to keep your MPG up. Also, for tire wear, if you have low tire pressure, that will cause unusual wear. And you'll be buying tires more often. Like I said, they got really expensive the last year or two with tire prices. We don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And third, the technician's going to be able to see the tire condition, see if it's wearing a little bit unusual, whatever. And he can recommend a course of action there. You have this professional set of eyes looking at this vehicle, by the way. And furthermore, he's going to top all the fluid levels off. And again, you're going to have the professional set of eyes looking at this vehicle. And each car has its little idiosyncrasies and its weaknesses and strengths. And the ASC certified tech knows what is what on each make and model. So they're going to be looking for those weaknesses because if they see it just starting a little bit, you can have that repair done cheap, tens or hundreds of dollars cheap, versus if it goes and dominoes, thousands of dollars.
So very important to be vigilant.
Very important. And it's free. It better be free because if it's not, you need to find another shop. I do these all day. And it's part of an ASC Blue Seal shop, ASC certified technician's job to the consumer to be very proactive with their vehicle.
That's amazing. I wish more people would think like you, Pam. I wanted to ask you as well, you know, we're getting into that time of the year again, depending on where you live, but where, you know, road trips are happening, you know, you're not so mm-hmm. worried about maybe traveling several hours, you know, and not heading into a snowstorm anymore. So what should people be doing if they are preparing to, let's say, do a 4 or 5 hour road trip for the weekend or something?
Well, first of all, they need to do the simple things. Just stop into your ASC Blue Seal shop. Just have them top off the fluid levels. Put air in your tires, like I was talking about before. We do that quite often for individuals going on trips in the weekend. We don't mind. And the other thing is you do this about a week before you go away in case they see something and it doesn't disrupt your schedule going away on that weekend trip. The other thing is plan a course of action. You know, I love GPS. Everybody loves GPS. But sometimes GPS isn't as accurate as you think, and it doesn't matter how many times you've had it updated. it still can tell you to turn left at the top of the bridge.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Which has happened. And with a brand new unit, that had happened to me. But make a long story short, just, you know, plan your course of action and make sure that even, you know, silly things where you're going to stay on your long weekend journey, make sure that there's accommodations available and you don't get stuck, so everything just flows easily and you have a great time.
Pam, when
that's why you're trying to get away.
When it comes to fuel, you know, there's obviously regular and the mid-grade and usually the premium. What's your take on that? I know, like, for example, my car is a Nissan Maxima, and it was, you know, instructed to me that I always have to put premium in, which I do 95.9% of the time. I never put in regular. Sometimes I might put the mid-grade in, but like most of the, like 9 out of 10 times or 9.5 out of 10 times, I'm putting in that premium. How important is it for you to follow what's been suggested?
Well, actually, if they suggest that, then you do that. Whatever your book says, because each make and model is going to be different. But the big thing is not so much the premium versus middle grade versus the regular unleaded gasoline, is that you want to use a top-tier fuel. Go ahead and Google it, because each fuel facility is different. It's regional. TOP-TIER, fuel. And top-tier fuel has been designed more than 10 years ago by 6 automobile manufacturers that said, you know, this is the formula, the detergents that we need in our fuel to make our cars run at peak miles per gallon, the least amount of emissions, and what keeps the carbon out of our engines. And a handful came back and said, hey, we can do that. And they have been deemed top-tier. Those 6 companies would be BMW, Audi, VW, GM, Toyota, and Honda, by the way. So if you have one of those vehicles, it actually says it right in your manual to use top-tier fuel.
Okay.
But getting back to the other vehicles, you know, it's extremely important to be feeding your car health food instead of junk food. And health food is top-tier fuel. Like I said, it's regional. Just Google it, and they'll tell you the gas stations in your area. And basically, it keeps all the carbon build out of it, brings your MPG up, and it's great for the environment, for the emissions. There's least amount of emissions. We experimented with a vehicle. It was actually a Dodge product, which wasn't even in the top tier list. And to make a long story short, we put what I call junk food gas in the vehicle for approximately 3 weeks. And then we got about, oh, I'd say a little heavy 19 miles per gallon. And then, of course, we put the top tier back into it, rode about 3 weeks, and then we did the average there, the MPG average, and we were getting 23.
Wow.
So if that doesn't tell you right there, I mean, I don't know what other examples.
And that's plus, clear math.
You know, we had a Toyota in here today, and they were having fuel-related issues, and they were expecting all these expensive repairs for their vehicle, and all they needed to do was put top-tier fuel in the car. That's it. It was that simple.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, Pam, before I let you go, I wanted to ask you as well if you could just leave us with, like, your top sort of spring tip for us, you know, that people really need to, if it's the one thing they do with their car coming out of the winter, this is it.
The one thing that you do coming out of winter into spring with your vehicle is definitely, by all means, like I said a little earlier in our program, have it checked out by your ASC certified technician at an ASC Blue Seal shop or dealership, one that you have known for a long time. You have a great relationship with them. They're a trusted service facility, and have them look at it. You want that professional. You don't want a quick lube jockey going in there and telling you you need this, that, to line the pockets of that facility. You want a professional. You want a professional's opinion. And it's like, if I get ill, I'm going to go to a professional. I'm going to go to a doctor. I'm not going to go to my next door neighbor and say, what do you think that spot is on the side of my face? You know?
Right.
You want a professional.
Got it. Perfect. Well, Pam, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it. And we're happy to have you back on the show.
And thank you for asking. Take care.
That's car care expert Pam Oakes. Again, if you want any information, very simple. Check out our website, PamsMotorCity.net. I want to leave you with your thought-provoking quote of the week, this time coming from William Faulkner. Always dream and shoot higher than you know you can do. Do not bother to be just better than your contemporaries or predecessors. Try to be better than yourself. Don't forget to check out our YouTube channel. Lots going on there. YouTube.com/Kelly Alexander Show. Also on Twitter @KAlexanderShow. On our Facebook page, Kelly Alexander Show. And as per usual, on our website, lots of blogs and cool stuff going on. KellyAlexanderShow.com. Have an awesome week. If you have any questions, Kelly@KellyAlexanderShow.com. You and I'll chat soon.